I'm speaking with Wally Tyner, who is professor of agricultural economics at Purdue University, and he has just completed a report for Farm Foundation on what's driving food prices. Wally, can you give us a little bit of a summary of what exactly you found when you looked at the factors driving food prices?
Well, you can summarize it into three major categories. The first is global trends in production and consumption of agricultural commodities. The second has to do with sort of macroeconomic factors, the depreciation of the dollar. And the third has to do with biofuels. And these are linked in some ways, but in some ways it's like a perfect storm of all these things coming together at the same time that has led to the huge run-up in prices.
Well, what as an economist now, what does this mean to you? Is this trend going to continue, or is this just something that's like you said, a perfect storm that might dissipate over time?
Well, prices rise and prices fall, and we expect that they'll fall from the high levels that we've seen recently. In fact, they've already started to fall. But our expectation is that so long as oil prices remain high, agricultural commodity prices will settle back down into a level that's higher than historic norms, meaning that higher commodity prices and therefore higher food prices are going to be with us for a while, so long as oil stays up.
Well, let's take each of these three areas one at a time. First, the global changes in production and consumption of key commodities. What exactly are you talking about there?
Well, in eight of the last 9 years, global consumption has been greater than global production. And what that means is that our stocks have been falling each year since the turn of the century. For the whole two decades of the 80s and 90s, we were in what you could call a surplus mentality. We had stocks-to-use ratios of 3 months or more, and now we're down to about 1.8 months of stocks in aggregate grains, and some of them even less than that. And it's a record low. So it's something that's been building up for the last 8 years. And then in 2007, you have a few relatively minor weather shocks or crop disease problems that wouldn't have done anything in the 80s and 90s because stocks were so high. But by 2007, stocks were really, really low. And so these little events caused a huge upsurge in prices. Then governments, in some cases, particularly for rice and corn, started banning exports or taxing exports of these commodities because they wanted to keep the commodities at home and limit their own citizens' exposure to those high prices. And so that made things even worse. And so it's not something that's come on overnight. It's something that's been building up for the last 8 years. Because we have shifted from a surplus situation and a surplus mindset to a shortage. And we've done that sort of gradually since the turn of the century.
Regarding the depreciation of the dollar, how does that impact food prices?
The depreciation of the dollar is linked with, and I say linked because we really don't completely understand what's cause and what's effect, but it's linked with the rise of all commodity prices. As the dollar has fallen, oil has risen, the prices of gold and copper and nickel and rice and wheat and corn have risen. The agricultural commodities started rising a little later than the others, but the price of all these major commodities has moved up as the value of the dollar has moved down, so there's a strong link there.
Well, the third area here is the one that's gotten the most publicity and the most controversy, and that's the growth in the production of biofuels. How do you see the biofuels segment of this equation working into food prices?
You have to ask several questions that are all linked, but the simple answer to the question of, you know, are corn prices higher because of biofuels, the answer to that's yes. It's mainly because of biofuels. Almost three-quarters of the growth in corn production in the last 3 years has been for biofuels. So, yes, that's a big factor. But then you got to dig deeper and say, okay, what is it that's driving the biofuels growth? And a lot of the studies have said, well, it's U.S. subsidies that are driving it. Well, we evaluated the drivers of the increase in biofuels demand, and you can go back to 2004 when oil was $40 a barrel, and come up to early 2008 when oil was $120 a barrel. So oil tripled over that time period. Over that same time period, corn went from $2 a bushel to $6 a bushel. It increased $4 a bushel. Now, of that $4 increase in the price of corn, $1 was due to the U.S. subsidy on ethanol, and $3 was due to the higher oil price. So while the subsidy is important, it was essential for development of the ethanol industry. In recent times, it has not been nearly as important a driver of biofuels growth as the oil price itself has been. The oil price has, and the way it works is higher oil price means higher gasoline price. Higher gasoline price means more demand for ethanol because ethanol is a substitute for gasoline. And the higher ethanol demand means more plants get built, ethanol plants, and they demand more corn. And more demand for corn means higher corn prices. I call this a revolution in American, and in fact in global agriculture, because historically there's been no link between energy prices and agricultural commodity prices. They've marched to different drummers. But today, the price of crude and the price of corn are linked through the fuels market. And that's something new, and it's been a major driver in the growth in biofuels.
Well, let's go to the way you developed this report. How did you prepare this report? What did you look at?
Well, we looked at better than two dozen other studies that had been done, reviewed all of them, created, in fact, an annotated bibliography of all those studies because we wanted to see what everyone else had done. But then we decided we were going to take a data-based approach. We were going to try not to say anything that we couldn't demonstrate clearly with data. And a good example of that is links to a lot of these studies that we looked at said China and India are big drivers of commodity price increases. Well, when we looked at the data, we found that, yes, consumption's been growing in China and India. They're rapidly growing economies, and their consumption of agricultural commodities is growing. But so is their production. Both those countries have had policies essentially of food self-sufficiency, and they don't trade to any significant degree on world markets. China imports vegetable oils, and India exports a tiny amount of rice, but they don't trade corn, they don't trade wheat, China doesn't trade rice. India and China are not the drivers of the food price increases. Countries that trade set prices, and India and China don't trade to any significant degree these agricultural commodities. So we disagree with what a lot of the studies concluded about China and India being major drivers, because the data we consulted said, yes, their production, their consumption and their production is growing, but they don't trade, and therefore they don't have any significant impact on prices.
All right. Well, Wally, I think we're going to end it there because there's a lot in this report, and we'd like to have people look at it. And we appreciate you talking with us today, and you have a good day.
Thanks very much. And we'd like for people to look at it, too.
And that is Wally Tyner, who is agricultural economics professor at Purdue University. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.